To my immense relief, he does say yes. We plan to meet tonight at a nearby Thai restaurant, all the while under the amazed gaze of the woman behind the desk. And I leave, forgetting about Kelmscott and Chaucer, and floating down the marble stairs through the lobby and out into the October Chicago sun, running across the park, scattering small dogs and squirrels, whooping and rejoicing.
It's a routine day in October, sunny and crisp. I'm at work in a small, windowless, humidity-controlled room on the fourth floor of the Newbery, cataloging a collection of marbled papers that has recently been donated. The papers are beautiful, but cataloging is dull, and I am feeling bored and sorry for myself. In fact, I am feeling old, in the way only a 28-year-old can after staying up half the night drinking overpriced vodka and trying, without success, to win himself back into the good graces of Ingrid Carmichael. We spent the entire evening fighting, and now I can't even remember what we were fighting about. My head is throbbing. I need coffee. Leaving the marbled papers in a state of controlled chaos, I walk through the office and past the pages desk in the reading room. I'm halted by Isabel's voice saying, "Perhaps Mr. de Tamble can help you." By which she means, "Henry, you weasel, where are you slinking off to?" And this astoundingly beautiful, amber-haired, tall, slim girl turns around and looks at me as though I am her personal Jesus. My stomach lurches. Obviously she knows me, and I don't know her. Lord only knows what I have said, done, or promised to this luminous creature. So I'm forced to say in my best librarianese, "Is there something I can help you with?" The girl sort of breathes, "Henry," in this very evocative way that convinces me that at some point in time we have a really amazing thing together. This makes it worse that I don't know anything about her, not even her name.